Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Scott will take it in the end zone, and Nick's going to come out. Goal line, 5, 10, 15, to the right, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, makes a man miss, 15, 45, and Nick Scott, right out of the chute, gets the Nittany Lions off to a great start. Polk sweeping far side, Wilkerson in front, 20, 15, Polk to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions get on the board.
22-yard attempt, far hash, angle to his right, punches at it, kick is up by Julius, and the kick by Joey is good. And Penn State gets three off the takeaway by Nassib on the interception. Yazian snaps it there. Kick is up by Julius. Joe Julius up and good. Penn State gets three back. Throws near side. Hamilton block in front of the five. Cuts inside the corner block. Touchdown, Penn State. Give the ball to Barkley up the middle. Good block by Gaia. Hurdles to the 25-20, 15, and down to the 10-yard line. You wanted to find electric? There's your electric freshman. It's Barkley following Carter into the hole to the five. To the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State.
26 appears to be a player.
He's got some skills.
To be honest with you, I think somebody said, you and Jack didn't seem too surprised at all. But no, we watched that for 5 weeks. We watched it for 5 weeks. And that's what you see. There are certain things, there are certain athletes that come along that bring certain elements to the table you cannot teach. He's one of those guys. Rich Scarcell is going to join us on the show tomorrow to talk about this and more. Today, Brandon Gouten, BleedingGreenNation.com. Joe Susan will join us today as well. And also Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network to balance out Brandon Gouten. Had to do it.
Who, by the way, is on the line with you right now.
Yeah, I don't have you. Whatever you're doing there isn't working. I don't have it. Okay. Brandon, welcome. Great to have you with us. How excited are you to see the opener this evening?
I mean, it's been a long, very long, crazy offseason. I'm ready to get this thing started.
I don't blame you about that. Let's get to the offensive side. Was in reality anybody surprised at what they saw out of Sam Bradford in the limited preseason work?
I don't really think so. I think even going back to spring, like the practices the Eagles had in May, when Bradford was still a little hobbled, he was wearing that brace, he wasn't fully recovered, and they weren't having him fully participate in team drills. They had him doing some 7-on-7s at one point, but they didn't have him doing 11-on-11. But even back then, from what I had seen, you know, he was playing pretty well. I mean, you could see he's an upgrade on Nick Foles in terms of pure talent. He gets the ball out quicker. His arm is stronger. He makes throws that are just more impressive on a regular basis. So it really evolved from the Sam Bradford that everyone saw in practice and everyone knew, all right, this guy has some serious talent, but now can he handle the pass rush? And Bradford went out there, and he played against the Ravens, and he took a couple big hits, and he got back up, and he led the team on a touchdown drive. And then, you know, the next week, he goes off against the Packers. So I think it's kind of been a slow-building thing here.
One of the weaker areas for the Falcons happens to be their offensive line. They have a fabulous quarterback in Matt Ryan. Roddy White and Julio Jones are really good on the outside, and White's now probable for tonight's game. But it's the offensive line. How eager are you to see that front seven versus that Falcons offensive line?
Well, that's the big matchup right there, because you look at people talking about how Julio Jones is going to be a big test for this Eagles secondary, and he will be, and so will Matt Ryan. But, you know, it really is a question of how much time Matt Ryan is going to have to throw, because that offensive line is not looking good. Jake Matthews, the offensive tackle, recently had to get a shot in his back to reduce some back pain, and he kind of struggled last year as a rookie. At left guard, you have Andy Levitre, who got cast off from the Titans. He was overpaid, and he was pretty much benched, so they kind of got rid of him. At center, they have a new center starting. At right guard, they have Chris Chester, who wasn't good enough to start for Washington. So just the fact that they have these cast-offs from bad teams starting for their offensive line, and they're also some older guys as well, that kind of really tells you all you need to know about the quality of that offensive line.
Exactly, and that to me is the ball game there. If you give Matt Ryan Tony Romo time, it's amazing how really good Matt Ryan is. Tony Romo is standing back there almost flat-footed right now when he plays with that offensive line in front of him. Let's get to the Eagles' running game. What can it do potentially based on what you saw in the preseason or practice to balance off Sam Bradford?
I think it really all starts with the running game. I think the Eagles really want to get this running game back on track, because it kind of got off where they wanted it to be last season. They just wasn't where it needed to be. I think, you know, the Eagles have talked about how they wanted to change from LeSean McCoy, you know, a guy who dances around and can make big plays, and there's value in that because LeSean McCoy is a good player. But I think they kind of want these guys who are physical, one-cut runners. They pick up the yards that are there. I think you saw that in the Packers game, the Eagles preseason game against the Packers, where DeMarco Murray really didn't break any big runs, but he didn't have any negative runs either. It was consistently 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, moving the chains, getting into scoring position, and then Bradford could finish off the drive from there. I think that's really where they want it to all get started.
All right, so now they get into this one, and you mentioned that secondary for the Eagles. What kind of progress did they make during the preseason, which would give an Eagles fan some hope?
Well, they made a couple big, quite a few big plays, really, in the preseason. I think they had at least 3 interceptions or so. I think Walter Thurman is a guy who has really shown up at safety. And that's a guy they signed to be a cornerback for them. So that's really where he's only played in his entire career. He's never played down at safety ever, you know, high school, college. And he's looked really good at safety. I mean, he's a guy who obviously can cover. I think there are some questions about his ability to stay healthy. Obviously, he's been an injury-prone player, and also maybe his tackling, and not necessarily the best tackler back there. But in coverage, I mean, he looks like he's a guy who can make plays. And Byron Maxwell is the big name, obviously, that they signed to be their number one cornerback, and he's going to have a big matchup against Jones tonight. Maxwell looks like the real deal so far in training camp. The Eagles gave him a lot of money, so they would hope he would be the real deal. I think he's going to at least, you know, be a solid force in the secondary.
All right, so now in this one here, you talked about that matchup. What about the Eagles' front now against the front seven of the Falcons? They'll be without one of their key players. In fact, Croy Bierman's going to have to start tonight because of it. So what about that matchup of the Eagles' front versus the front seven of Atlanta?
Yeah, looking back to last year, Bierman was actually the team's leading pass rusher with 4.5 sacks, and that really tells you all you need to know about how bad their pass rush was last year. Now, since they've added some players, they obviously hired Dan Quinn to be the head coach. As far as pass rushers go, they took Vic Beasley high in the draft. I think they also signed Claiborne. So
yeah, Vic, they love Vic Beasley. They love Vic Beasley down there.
Yeah. And, you know, he might be a player for them, but it's hard to see him coming in right away and all these guys coming in right away and suddenly being, you know, one of the worst pass rushes into, like, even a good pass rush. I think it's things like that might take some time.
Sure.
And I think that's a matchup that really does favor the Eagles.
Yeah, there are a lot of matchups that favor the Eagles, without question in this. There are a lot of matchups that favor the Eagles in this game going in. And the other part is, evidently, Atlanta has been overrun by Eagles fans. They seem to be surprised and taken aback by it. How surprised are you?
I'm not usually too surprised when I see stuff like that. I think the Eagles fans travel pretty well. I know just from running Bleeding Green Nation that we have a lot of different people who follow the site from all over. It's all over the country, even internationally. So I'm never really surprised to see Eagles fans. And, you look at the Falcons fan base, and if Atlanta had to pump in crowd noise in the past, which they got caught for and they can't do anymore, and that kind of tells you something about their fan base.
Yeah, probably to a point. I mean, and we'll talk to Mike Conte about this when we get him on the line as well. Brandon, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to the opener tonight. Should be a lot of fun. They're the first game. They've got Tirico, and they got that Wildcat John Gruden as well with Lisa Salters tonight.
Thanks,
Brandon.
Guys.
You bet. Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com. Check out that cat, man. Look how he just makes that block. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Coming up tomorrow, Rich Scarcella on Penn State. Later today, Mike Conte from the Falcons Radio Network is going to join us, and also Joe Susan today as well. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. A good win for Penn State Saturday. They went out there, they won the game, now they move to the next one, and it's going to be Rutgers. Leonte Carew has been suspended indefinitely. And I don't know if suspended indefinitely means until Friday or if it means all the way through. But he's been suspended. There was evidently an incident outside the Rutgers building after the game on Saturday involving, I believe, his girlfriend and some other woman, and he got involved, and there's been no arrest made from what I understand. But he was suspended for it indefinitely. But what does an indefinite suspension mean? I can suspend you indefinitely, and suddenly on Thursday, well, it's over. I don't know. This goes with the guys that have been arrested. There are now, I think, been six guys arrested on this team. Five, plus there was another one after that for the series of armed robberies that took place in the New Brunswick Piscataway area in the spring. And the details with which they gave details on in terms of the robberies, very detailed about who did what, where, when, and why. And that's what was so interesting on that. So we'll wait and see. We'll find out more tomorrow on the status of Andrew Nelson for this week's game from James Franklin. We'll see what he has to say about that. Also, we may find out from Kyle Flood tomorrow about Darius Hamilton. So we will see about that. And, now let's get to the some of the pluses. Pluses on Saturday. Obviously, Barkley was a huge plus with how he played. Offensive line did not give up a sack. Hackenberg was only touched twice in the game, was not knocked down at all. He was touched twice overall. No sacks. Hackenberg really managed the game well on Saturday. He didn't get too high, didn't get too low. He managed the game. Made some really good throws that statistically he doesn't get credit for. Pass interference play where he dropped the ball in there. On that play, the two throws to Mike Gesicki, which were both right on. That was a really good play call, too, where you line up Gesicki at the wingback. You run the wheel route from the wingback spot there. Well-conceived, good call. Ball put right there. Okay. Those things happen. But Hackenberg played a good game and managed the game really well. Godwin continues to play at a very high level. Brendan Mann really played a good game at right tackle. He really played a good game at right tackle. And Paris Palmer stepped in and played well on the left side with Nelson out. Now, as we mentioned, that is not a great Buffalo front. It just is not. And we talked about the square peg, round hole deal going into the game, where they're trying to convert from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and you're going to get that. I mean, and so Penn State's offensive front did what it had to do against that Buffalo front. Defensively, Kabinda and Reeder played really well together. I think the Bob Shoup and Brent Pry made the right move, because originally when they came in, Reeder was a Mike and Kabinda was a Will. Then Bob decided that Reeder should play the Will, and he had him behind Kabinda, but both Kabinda and Reeder both, from day one, have learned how to play the mic. And Bob wanted that very much, but the two players wanted to do that very much. Well, now it's paid off. And I talked to Kabinda about that yesterday, and he said, no. He said, when I came here, he said, I wanted to learn multiple positions because I wanted to make sure that I understood if there was ever needed, I could play both spots. And Kabinda is a very outgoing, big personality guy and is a talker. He is a talker. And Reeder, as I mentioned, is more of a perfectionist, but that's what impressed me about Reeder. Reeder is a perfectionist, means eventually he's going to be really good because he cares that much and is that precise. But the downside of being a perfectionist sometimes is that you think a lot. Well, Reeder played instinctively on Saturday. That's what really impressed me about what he did, was how instinctively he played. Zettel and Johnson played big games. Nassib continues to play at an incredibly high level. You get back Bell and Haley possibly this week. The door's open. They might be able to make it if they do. That really changes some things in the Penn State defense. Saw some good signs there. Special teams, the jump they had in the returns, as you heard in the highlight package. I don't think you had the punt return in there. The punt return is 58 yards as well.
That was good, but I wanted the hurdle instead.
Oh, everybody loves the hurdle.
The hurdle
was
awesome.
I understand that. Jack said to me, he says, how'd you get the hurdle in there? He said, because he jumped.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Eagles and Falcons on Eagle 107 tonight with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick beginning at 6. Merrill will be on the show, we believe, Wednesday. Later, we'll have Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network on today's show, joining us from Atlanta. Joining us now is the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan, after a tough one against Duquesne and Army on the horizon. Joe, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be with you guys. I was talking to Kevin and... It's good to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I understand that completely. give me what role did field position play in the second half of that game for you?
You know, we had some opportunities to change momentum, change the score, and the field position factor was not major. What became evident was that they are very stingy on defense. I would think less field position, more time of possession, where they were driving the ball consistently, and we actually went into our no-huddle two-minute phase early in the fourth quarter, which is unlike us, but we got behind on the scoreboard and felt that we had to make every possession count. And, you know, there were opportunities within that game that we missed a field goal early, would have made it 6-6 or 6-3, and then it was 16-0, and we drove the field and were first and goal from the four, and we give the ball to a very reliable runner in C.J. Williams, and it's a great play by their defense, but we put the ball on the ground, and it winds up being a touchback. So that would have made it 16-6, and at that time of the game, we would have gone for two. So, you know, it's when you look back at it, and I'm one that preaches to our team, they've got 24 hours regardless of whether you win or the other thing. Mm-hmm. This one stuck with me longer than I thought it would, so I had to work out twice on Sunday.
All right. Joe, in baseball, when an error is committed, you're basically asking the pitcher to get four outs in an inning instead of three. When you were a -3 giveaway takeaway in football, how much more ground do you have to make up when that happens?
You know what it is, and I tell the team this all the time, is that when you turn it over, it's you're giving them more snaps. And obviously it winds up being more time of possession. And you're taking snaps away from yourself. And that's the biggest thing. You know, the opportunity to create yardage, to create field position, and ultimately to create points are what you give up when you turn the ball over. And the second play of the game, for us on offense, we turn it over and we have what we want in terms of the matchup, and the ball is just too far to the inside. The free safety makes a good play on it. You complete that or it's incomplete, then it winds up being a third down, a manageable third down, or a first down down the field. The other thing that happened as well is we roughed the kicker. So that, right, to me, that's another turnover. And what's unique is that the roughing the kicker did not impact the kick. So the kick would have given us field position at the -45, and then we give it +15. And we weathered that storm, but it still snaps we don't get.
Right, exactly. In the fourth quarter of the game, you gave up only 38 yards total. And in the fourth quarter, offensively, you had over 120 offensively. What kind of fight did your kids show even though they were behind?
You know, I think it's a tribute to them and our coaches in terms of we kept them dialed in. And I know Kevin was at the game. The game wound up being, you know, we were concerned about the weather, but it remained hot and humid for the entire game. And our players, even though we had a couple cramp, their players cramped more than we did. And we wound up only putting 7 points on the board, and that's the frustrating thing, the opportunities that you have. But again, it goes back to normally when you're down 3 in the turnover margin, when you have some significant penalties that give them yardage, when you look at the result, ultimately in the end, it's not good. And we pride ourselves on the ball, and we also pride ourselves on being smart about penalties. Some penalties are unavoidable, but we had a roughing the kicker. We had a hit out of bounds. We had a 15-yard, one of our defensive linemen face-masked one of their offensive linemen. And those are yards they don't have to earn. They're given. And when you're playing against a good football team, and Jerry Schmidt has done a very good job with that program, they're very talented. I think they'll be one of the more talented teams overall that we'll see. And I'm not discrediting anybody else that we'll see, because the team that I'm focusing on is our team.
Thus, and that brings up my next question. When you look at the video after watching it live, are you watching everything that, in your opinion, are correctable mistakes?
Very much
so, and thus being correctable? Yeah. So that's the key there. If it's something you look at and say, it's going to be impossible to correct that, that's right. A problem. But you have correctable mistakes.
If it becomes a personnel thing, that is a major concern. If it becomes an effort thing, that is a major concern.
Yep.
Obviously, we have to correct the turnover. That is something that we addressed after the game. We addressed it last night. And those are things that we have in our power to correct. And then we're fortunate that we get the services of Will Carter back this week. And he adds a dimension of speed that, along with Joe DeFloria, really poses threats to a defense where they can't take advantage of nine men in the box. And I think that'll help us. But it really goes back to, we've got to fix the turnover margin. And I said this to our staff. In 2011, we were first in the country in turnover margin. Last year, I think we were somewhere in the low 20s. You don't want to know the number we are at right now, but that's behind us. And we have to work to create turnovers, but we have to eliminate turnovers in what we're doing. But they are correctable mistakes. And the good thing is, they're a team. We talked about it last night. We went out and practiced last night. They practiced well. And, today's their off day. They have their share of responsibilities outside of my field and our classrooms. And I know that they'll come back hungry for this next one. It's a traditional rival, too, in Cornell.
Cornell. You'll go up there. Playing at home is a great thing. But are there certain areas of camaraderie, being together, us against the world, where maybe a road game's a good thing?
It certainly is. You lock it down. You travel on the bus. We go to a hotel. We're there by ourselves. It's a 3:00 game, so we have the opportunity on that Saturday to get going a little bit earlier. But we also will have either a team meeting or a unit meeting, and then walk through. And then, as a coach and as a player, I loved it when you played at noon or 1:00, because you get up and you get going. Sometimes as a coach or as a player, and I know that it has to be, the night games or the late afternoon games, you're just sitting around staring at yourself for a lot of hours, and you build up that angst. But I've talked to them about the atmosphere we're going into. It's their first game, so they bring the entire freshman class down there, and it'll be a lot of noise. And as a player, I felt this way, and as a coach, I feel this way. They're yelling, all right? I convince myself they're yelling for me, and that's what I tell my teams all the time. And there's one way to keep them quiet.
Right, exactly. One final question, Joe, then I'll let you go. Because it is their opener, I know it's a traditional game, so there's certain personnel that you can look at and say, okay, I know what he does, what he does, what he does. But because it's an opener, is there more mystery as to what you might or might not see from them, and how does that complicate your preparation, even though you really are dialed in on yourself?
Very much so. You look at basically what we're evaluating or film from last year on both sides, all three phases of the ball. And it is in that opening game that they might unravel or unveil some things that they've been working on specifically to attack us. We have a long history with them, and David Archer is in his fourth year, I believe. It's third year. And he's gotten more and more of his recruits in the system. But them going into their first game is always a concern because of the unknown. But the other thing that they're doing is they're playing their first real college football, and sometimes they keep it fairly close to the vest. And you know, you see across the board, across the world of college football, you see some mistakes in that first game, and we're going to work our tails off to make sure they make the mistakes we don't.
It'll be Schoelkopf Field. That'll be on Saturday beginning at 3 o'clock. Joe, best of luck in that game. Safe trip up. Good game. Safe trip back.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin. You guys take care. I appreciate your interest in us, and look forward to seeing you guys.
Absolutely. Joe Susan.
Thank you.
Head coach Bucknell has done, in our opinion, an outstanding job. Not a good job. He's done an outstanding job there. And Duquesne had its day. Duquesne played very well on Saturday. I mean, you know, sometimes the other guy does something right. Well, it was a day where Duquesne did something right. And for Bucknell, back to work. You go up, you get the Cornell game, get yourself back on track. Bucknell's a good team. Bucknell's a good team. Getting Carter back is huge to what they want to do with Nitti and with Williams, and then how they play defensively. And I can tell Joe wants more takeaways from the defense, and he has the experience on that defense to generate more takeaways. And you can tell that that's what they're working toward here for this one coming up, and not just this week, but every single week. Schoelkopf Field, 3 o'clock. You'll hear it on Eagle 107 with Doug and Kevin. We'll continue with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Great to have you with us. Mike Conti, Falcons Radio Network, next hour to counter the Brandon Gauten. Jump on the Eagles bandwagon and take it right to Santa Clara. Conti will be on to say that's never going to happen because the Falcons will beat them tonight. Mike won't say that, no. he's not going to say that.
By the way,
hey, you're driving a Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, a Kia Cadenza is what we're featuring this week. The 2015 Kia Cadenza has every feature you would want in any vehicle, priced at well over $40,000, and we're talking mid-30s right now for the Kia Cadenza, including the fully customizable. Sunroof, because you can actually have it open, intermittent. I mean, you can actually adjust how much light comes in, or maybe not at all if you choose. Air-cooled and heated front seats, heated rear seats.
You are, after all, the Prince of Darkness.
I am the Prince of Darkness. Thank you. Appreciate that. And as always, has Kia's fantastic 5-year, 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty, leather interior, doors open really, really wide. And that's great because it makes it easier to get in and out of if you're not a small guy like me. You know, you find it's the little things that make a difference in vehicles, especially when you're looking for one you want to keep for a long period of time. And this is going to be one of those. Check it out. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can see more details about it by following me on Twitter at Kevin Herr and on my Facebook page.
Very nice. Now, there was a topic you wanted to bring up before you were so rudely interrupted by people that have been an awesome with us since day one that have paid all the bills around here. So please, what topic was that?
And I'm more than happy to stop for that. But yeah. I was really glad that the National Football League, and I know this is going to, you're going to laugh because this is a small thing, but I am so glad they got away from Roman numerals. Do you know how long the Roman numeral was going to be after this year and in years to come? Just make it a number. I'm really tired of trying to be ultra smart to figure it out. I don't want to go to the internet to go, is this Super Bowl 50? What is that? 50? That's IXL. I don't know. I was so happy to see them get rid of the Roman numerals and just call it 50. See, I knew you wouldn't like that. I just, you know, it was a real pet peeve.
I don't know.
I know you don't care. I get that. But I know there are a lot of casual fans that feel the same way I do. We were talking about it, actually, this weekend, watching some of the games. We're like, I said, the nice thing is there's no more Roman numerals. Oh, that's great. I could just call it Super Bowl 50 and not have to figure out what it is in Roman numerals.
None of you have that Roman spirit, do you?
No, I never did well in Roman numerals. Never did well in fractions either, so that's...
Well, you're one half of this show, so here's a fraction for you.
Actually, I'm probably more of a 16th, but that's okay.
All right.
I mean, there are two of us, so it makes it a half, but my contribution's probably about a 16th. How's that?
That's not true. Jim McElwain with Fred Taylor's son. Fred Taylor did something really stupid. He really did. I mean, the throat slash after a touchdown. You don't do something like that. That's going to be penalized every single time. You hurt your team when you do that, especially when you know you're not supposed to do it. There's also no need for it. But McElwain's response to it, you can't sit there and preach to your players. What does every coach preach to their players all the time? What's a big word with coaches? Big word with coaches is poise. Keep your poise. Go to the next play. Keep your poise. Go to the next play. Look. There's no doubt you bench the kid. You bench him. I don't care. You bench him. Send a message. Playing time is a big message. You bench him. All right? And then that's why God created Dawn Patrol. Okay? You discipline him, and you play the tape back for the entire team, and you show him, look, this is here are the consequences. Yeah, you do stuff like that, and you hurt the football team like that, you will be benched. And you heard the football team like that, and you do that, you will get Dawn Patrol. And you will. And so I don't care if you're the quarterback or you're the fourth string running back. That's how you handle it. You don't freak out in front of the entire free world the way he did. That's not leadership. And how can you look at your players and say, now look, keep your poise? Well, I'm looking around and go, well, you don't.
I was going to say, obviously you don't want me to learn from your lesson.
I mean, do as I say, not as I do.
You know,
I mean,
Joe Susan says this to me time and time again. I'm a teacher as well as everything else as a football coach.
Well, they all are. You have 125 men that are around you at your disposal. And it's not as if we haven't seen coaches get mad, get upset, circumstances. We all of us get mad and upset by circumstances from time to time. But you also have to remember something, that when you are a coach, there are two cameras that are isolated on your sideline at all time. One follows the quarterback and one follows the coach all the time. Every action you take or don't take, they have it. They're in the truck. Every one of them. There's a camera on you the entire time. So if you're standing there contemplating, or you're pacing back and forth, or you're getting upset, they are capturing every second of it because they always have a camera on you. Now, what hurts Jim McElwain in this case is they also had it mic'd up. Whoops.